here with Ashley Clark, singer-songwriter, fiddle, impresario.
Thank you.
The Greyhound is the EP.
Yes.
And it's out.
Yes.
All right. And we're going to get to that. So let's start off. Music family, which is not a unique story, but I want to get to the 10 siblings part.
Yeah, well, there's 11 kids in my family. All our names start with A, and it wasn't my idea. But there's Alan, Aaron, Adam, Ashley, Andrew, Austin, Alexander, Abraham, Avery, Amy, and Amber. And we grew up playing on the road, bluegrass festivals, tent revivals, churches. That's how I learned how to play, is playing in a family band.
Now, I imagine good prep for music industry in general, like learning how to stand out amongst 10 other people that are doing the same thing you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing my whole life, you know, and I feel most comfortable, I would say, on the stage. Because when you grow up on the road your whole life like that, you're kind of like a gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see everything the way how the normal world works. You're in your own world.
Mm-hmm. But was there a competition, like with the siblings, like to like, hey, look, I can do this.
Or, oh, yeah.
Like, you know, look what...
Oh, no. For sure. Everybody was like, you know, like, of course, everybody's trying to outdo each other. And that's how we got good, you know. But we did that band. I mean, we had 13 of us in a family band, mom and dad and 11 kids. And then this manager guy, it was Tim McGraw's video producer, found us in a bluegrass festival and took the 6 oldest brothers. And because the girls are the youngest. And he took the 6 oldest brothers and made a band. And we called it the Clark Family Experience. And we went straight from bluegrass festivals and churches to opening up for Tim McGraw, which was really weird. After that band lasted a few years and we broke up, and I started playing for Carrie Underwood, and I played for her about 2.5 years.
Yeah. All right, let's stop there, because that was the next thing. From there, now you're in Nashville, you're crashing on your buddy's floor.
Yeah.
And playing with Carrie. How did you guys get hooked up? How did you get hooked up with her and her band?
Well, what happened was, when I was in the Clark Family Experience, because we opened up for Little Big Town back then, before they were big, and their bass player remembered me somehow. I don't even know how he got my number. I just left Virginia to Nashville to pursue music on my own, to do something to music. Mm-hmm. And he got my phone number somehow, and I got a random phone call, and I didn't even know what American Idol was. I was just saying yes to anything. I was playing for James Otto, for Shadazy. I was just kind of saying yes to anything.
That's what you do, right? Just take whatever they are.
You just go, man. If you can play for money and get paid for it, you do it. You know? And I remember James Otto said to me one time, he was just like, I want to pay you $400 and fly you out to Montana to do a show. And I was like, I made the big time. Yeah. And so anyway, I got this call from this guy, and he's just like, he goes, hey, you're a background singer, right? And I was just saying, yeah. I was like, yeah, yes. He's like, you play the fiddle? And I was like, yes. He was like, okay, great. There's this girl named Carrie Underwood. She just won American Idol. Do you want to take the gig? And I was like, yes. You know? And next thing I knew, we were on Jay Leno, David Letterman, SNL.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you did an SNL gig. That's awesome.
Yeah, we did. We did Oprah. I mean, we did every show out there.
All the circuits.
Everything. And all the major shows. And it was just a crazy ride seeing her go jump to fame like that, you mm-hmm. know? And that was a really good learning experience. And then after that, I saw this ad on TV one night at my house, and it was for this show called The Next Great American Band. I don't know if you heard about this part.
I did, and I was going to ask you that, you weren't quite on your own yet, because you did take some of your brothers with you for this, right, to do the...
I called 2 of my brothers, and I was just like, hey... Because I saw the ad on TV and it said, if you're in a band and you think you have what it takes, you could be on our show. And I called 2 of my brothers, but you have to send in a tape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called 2 of my brothers and I was like, guys, all we got to do is send in a tape. And I think we can win the show. And so we made a little video of us playing and singing, and we sent it in to this TV show. And we got on the show and we won the show. It was only 1 season of it. It was called The Next Great American mm-hmm. Band. It was on Fox.
Was going out on your own always, like the ultimate, like, because some would say, you know, you land a gig playing with you know, Carrie Underwood, right, as she's making her rise, some guys would be like, all right, cool, I'm done. But yeah, so yeah. was it always like the strive to
I always had that desire to do music on my own or with in a band or something, you know, just to be able to express myself and get out there, because I just love it, you know. And cool. And but
so from the show, that's where you meet Mutt.
Yeah, well, we won that show, and we were the Clark brothers. There was only three brothers. The six brothers went down to three, and we won the show. We didn't have bass or drums. It was just us three: a mandolin, a dobro, and a guitar and a fiddle. You know. And after we won the show, we made this record. This really, I think the record was way before its time, and it was doing pretty good. And we were making another record when my manager called and said, "Hey, you know, Mutt Lange wants to meet you." And my brothers were like, "Man, if Mutt Lange wants to meet you, you need to freaking go." And so I got on a plane, went out to LA, and went in my manager's office, and there's Mutt just standing there.
And for anybody listening that doesn't know, we're talking Mutt Lange of Shania Twain fame.
Yes.
So
he used to be married to Shania.
Yeah.
And one of the first questions I asked, I was like, "Mutt, who came up with Dun? Da-da-da-da?" He's like, "Oh, that was Angus. He brought in the tape," and we said, "Oh, that'll do. That's nice." And I was like, "Oh my God,
nice,
crazy." You know, I mean, I didn't know he did half the stuff he did. I didn't know he did "When You Love a Woman, You Tell Her." I didn't know he did all that.
Was that well, I was gonna ask about starstruck moments, but you've been on the road with some famous people at this point for a while, so
I was a little starstruck because there's such a myth like that's around Mutt.
He does have that.
He's like the Howard Hughes of music. Mm. and it's just kind of like, just to getting to know him, it took me a while to get used to it because it was just so cool.
Yeah.
You know? And we've become such great friends. He's taken me to two Super Bowls, and now he wants to take me to his next one coming up too. I've never been to the Super Bowl in my life.
Now three in a row.
Now you want
to make it the hat trick. No?
Yeah.
Super Bowl hat trick.
It's insane. We sat like right behind Tom Brady, you know, it's just crazy.
All right, so now we're up to you guys are producing the Greyhound. You had some songs already, and were these new songs or old songs?
Greyhound was an old song that my brother Austin and which is funny because Austin is playing for Shania now, which is weird. And my brother Austin and I wrote that about 6 years ago in a basement in Bellevue, and we had this really awful recording of it. And I didn't think, he was like beatboxing on it. Like, we didn't have any Pro Tools, so it was just kind of like, he's in the like tape recorder, he's like, and I'm like playing the guitar, you know, and it's just like muffly, and it just sounds like shit. You know? But I knew, like, if a producer could hear it, they could hear through it all and be like, oh, I could, you know, because we try to play it for like, you know, people in the industry would try to pitch it, and they're like, "This demo's so bad." They're like, we wouldn't even call this a demo, you know. And so when I was recording with Mutt, I remember that song, and I just kind of was like, "Oh yeah!" And I showed it to him, and I was like, "What do you think?" You know? And he was like, he listened, and he was like, "We absolutely must record this." And so he turned it into a masterpiece, you know. And it's the first single, and it's the only song on the record that Mutt and I didn't write.
Well, my next question was,
you
would collaborate with him on all the rest of them?
Yeah, on the rest. That's the only song that we didn't write.
I've listened to the whole EP a couple times through now. That one does stand out. That is probably one of my my favorite.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, you know. It just kind of, it's like one of those songs, like, you hear it the second time, you like it more.
Yeah, it's a cool song. Now, the EP in itself, the whole project, definitely, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn saying heavily pop influence on it, but also the strings, like, I don't know, I liked that. I liked what you guys did with the, I don't want to use country it up as a adjective, but I mean, I like the way that the strings kind of meld in under the,
mean the fiddle?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things Mutt was always wanting me to do some crazy solo all the time, you know, because he's like, you need to stand out, you know, you need to use that as like a weapon, the fiddle, you know. And to me, there hasn't been like another like Charlie Daniels since Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
You know? And it'd be cool to tap into that, you know, in this day and age, you know.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. It's I definitely liked that part of it. And you got a great voice, and the melodies are awesome, and thanks, the production man. Is awesome. And so it would be cool to just take something, you know, if that's your thing, you know.
Yeah.
Use it to the fullest advantage, you know. People used to say that there was too much guitar on Brad Paisley albums.
No. You know? I mean, that's his thing.
That's what I'm saying. People used to say that when he first came out, so, you know.
But, I mean, he's such a badass on it. It's like, you got to hear all that, you know. But that's what makes country stand out, though, was the musicianship. People really play, you know.
When you were writing, production-wise, on that, on the sound of it, when you were writing, did you always know the kind of sound you were going for, or did Muck kind of take that in the studio and kind of work it up?
He did his own thing with it. I would just write on acoustic guitar or whatever, and he would just take it and do his thing to it.
The buzzword in Nashville and country music right now is authenticity. There's a lot of that going around. So yeah. I guess before I make an assumption, I should ask, do you consider that EP to be pop, like pop country, pop?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, exactly. Country, so do you pop. Not... I'm in no way insinuating that pop can't be authentic, but when you're dealing with like all the remora that like to swim around the great white Florida Georgia Line fish, like is pop authentic country in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to like Bryan Adams and, you know, Shania Twain and I didn't know that Mutt produced Bryan Adams, mm-hmm. you know, and. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different styles of music I love, you know, and pop is one of them, you know, and probably on this record it's like pop country, and you know, if I get to make another record, you know, we might switch it up and do something a little, you know, more rootsy and earthy. I don't know, you know, it's just what it is for this time.
Yeah,
you know, when you're in this. Because when you're making a record, it's just like, it's like you're in that headspace and that's what you're going for. And then when that one's done, for me anyway, it's like, I want to try to do something totally different.
Yeah. You know what I mean? As an artist, you want to try to do something totally different. And I actually had a bit of trepidation about asking that question, but because it seems, but I felt it wouldn't offend you because it seems like for the kind of music that you were singing on that EP, it was like your voice and your style was perfect for that.
Yeah, you know, and there's a million, especially nowadays, it's like there's a million ways you can produce something, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's like anything goes.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is another reason why I like the time we're in right now.
Yeah, it really is anything goes, you know, and if it's good, it'll stand out, and that's how it is these days, you know, because... Country right now is kind of like, it's the new rock and roll, it's the new R&B, you know, it's the new pop, it's the new, it's just, because it's coming from a place of not, where you don't expect it to be that mm-hmm. way, you know, you expect country to be the certain way, and when it changes, it does something different, it's exciting.
Yeah, there's, and we're in such a renaissance of American music. When you think about what happened, you know, what's happening with all genres at the same time. But what's happening in country music, you know, with the traditionalists versus the new age. And that's the same thing's happening in rock and roll and hip-hop and all kinds of stuff. And,
well, rock and roll is rock and roll is dead. Rock and roll is dead. But in country, I think it is the new rock and roll.
Definitely.
You know.
So is there a time when you see it? In your opinion, are we going to eventually split? Like, because now we have traditional country music, we have pop country, we have country rock, and then. But is that eventually? I mean, what we call country rock is pretty much southern. It's pretty much rock.
So, yeah.
And well, you know, and a lot of country pop is pop.
Yeah.
So
you're saying eventually we'll just be music.
Yeah.
You know.
Will we go back to the putting on one station that just plays everything? That's pretty much what the country station is now.
Yeah, they're doing that already. I heard a Meghan Trainor on a country station, you know, and it's just kind of, I don't know the answer to that. You know, I think there'll always be someone holding the flag for country music, you know, and there's people that go outside the lines and here and there, but there's always the core.
Mm-hmm.
The core will always be there, you know, and I don't think you'll... Some artists, yeah. Some artists like Sam Hunt, I think he can go anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know. Which is, I'm not saying it's bad or good. I think it's good, you know. But
one of the biggest things that we have, one of the biggest lines and tropes in country, not only country music, but, you know, the country lifestyle is, the you know, that whole line about you can always come home. And I think that's what's great about country music is that you can branch out and we can do our own things. And you can, you know, the writers can write something different and, you know, the singers can go do something different and you can experiment with different kinds of music. And then, you know, if you fail, well, you know, you can always come back.
You can always come home, yeah. Man. That's great. That should be a song.
Well, man, who knows? We'll write it. So what's going on now? What's the next thing?
What? I'm going to Canada this weekend for like a week on a radio tour up there. Just been hitting the road every week, going on the radio tour.
Taking the fiddle to the Great White North.
Yeah. And I heard they're playing the heck out of it up there, so it should be fun.
I didn't realize until I came to Nashville what that Canada is like one of the biggest country markets.
It's huge. It's huge. So I'm going up there, and then after that, then I'm just doing like one-off stuff, and we're just booking stuff for the fall, doing some shows. I think I might be doing. Opening up for Leanne Rimes a few shows, and things are just coming in all the time.
So are you in Nashville now, or are you still on the West Coast?
No, I live in Nashville.
You live in Nashville.
I only was on the West Coast very briefly. I've been living here for like I've been in and out of this town for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
But I've been living here in a house probably like 10 years.
Yeah. So you've seen all the changes firsthand.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, crazy. It's a whole new town.
Recording
every day, it's a new town.
Indeed, you can just driving here, you can see that it's a new town.
I don't know if I like it or not.
Yeah, we talked about Libus before the interview, and it's definitely experiencing a renaissance right now. I mean, we're sitting in an office
like
right
it
now,
at times,
looking out the window, and you can just cranes.
I know
all over.
Cranes everywhere, and it's like, I do like it at times, but then at times I'm just like, what about all the old stuff? You know, all the cool old buildings that are tearing down, heritage. You know, just
kinda, yeah. There's definitely, Nashville definitely has that. People come here for that old school kind of factor, that they want to go to the places where their heroes like hung out at and stuff and recorded
it. I just hope they don't tear down the Spence Manor.
Yeah.
Because Elvis stayed there and that was pretty cool.
Well, all that stuff on Music Row is...
out with the old and with the new, man.
There you go.
Who cares about this old stuff?
What about recording in Nashville versus on the West Coast?
Well, I didn't record on the West
Coast. Oh, you
didn't?
Okay.
No. Well, we recorded in the Bahamas.
Ah, well, even better.
And it was...
You don't think state-of-the-art studio when you talk...
Well, the thing is, I don't know, Mutch is... Him and Shania, they have a kid together in Asia, and he goes to school down there, so it was just more convenient, I think, for him to work down there. Because when he was in school, we'd be recording. When he gets out of school, we're done recording.
Yeah.
So
I've always wanted to record in Jimmy Buffett's studio down in the Keys.
Well, I probably got the next best thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know. It was cool, man. And I think it took a while to record because when you're in the Bahamas, you don't really have a concept of time. It's just kind of, everything's just lazy. It's so hot and you're on the beach and just like whatever.
Oh, I know. I grew up in Florida. You order a drink on the island and you don't expect to be drinking it anytime soon.
I know. And we just told so many stories down there, you know, so many that we kind of just forgot to record sometimes. Just kept rambling, you know.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
So, well, I won't keep you too much longer, man. So let's do the plugs. Greyhound available. Digital media is what are you on iTunes?
It's on iTunes and it's on.
You're in the Google Play.
Google Play.
And you're on Spotify.
Yes,
I know that,
yes.
But let's not use Spotify. Go buy it from Google or iTunes.
Yes, that's good. And if you go to AshleyClarkOfficial.com, that will lead you to all my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much,
hey,
Ashley.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate you sitting down with me, brother.
No problem. This is
awesome.
Hopefully I won't sound like a jackass.
Ah.